WSBTRadio.com presents a fan's perspective on Notre Dame sports. This is Dome and Domer.
Hello again, everybody. You're listening to Dome and Domer, an online conversation about Notre Dame sports. I'm Mike Sullivan, and joining me is Ed Sullivan. We're sponsored by the South Bend Chocolate Company in downtown South Bend. For the next 15 minutes, we'll talk about Notre Dame's convincing win over Air Force and what it all means. We'll evaluate the Irish performance and talk about this week's coaches poll and AP poll. So first, let's start with a brief recap of the Notre Dame victory over Air Force, 39-17. I guess the worst part about the performance is extra point team. What do you think, Ed? We got major problems. I know you're worried about Carl Gioia's struggles on extra points.
Yeah, a couple of them blocked. Charlie said they were low, and that gets us worried again. Notre Dame fans have suffered through many years of having some shaky kicking game, and I thought we'd put that behind us. Actually, the worst thing about the game is Carlson's injury.
Well,
that's the worst thing about the game.
Yeah, perhaps the defensive performance. I wasn't 100% serious about the extra point team, although I think, you know, there's always in the back of your mind the game that comes down to the kick, and Joy has got to knock it through. But let's start with the defense and the 400-plus yards given up to Air Force. The points, 17 points, I don't think that that's anything to really worry about.
Well, our defense is a problem. They've been a problem the whole year. They were a problem last year. If you were looking for something to be a convincing defensive performance, I'm not sure you saw that.
No, it wasn't a suffocating defense. We haven't seen that all year. We've talked about this a little bit. What do you think of Rick Minter? Is it Rick Minter? Is it the personnel? What do you think?
I think that there's some personnel issues, but I sometimes wonder, you know, maybe we could do better. Maybe we could do better defensively. I mean, you look at Charlie, and you always feel like I'm getting an advantage scheme-wise, play-calling on the offense because I know Charlie's there. I'm not sure I feel the same way about Rick Minter.
Well, listen, a couple things in Rick Minter's defense. The ND Nation, if you go to ndnation.com and you'll read Rock's House and all the posts about Notre Dame football.
Do you go there and read that sometimes?
I've seen it once. I was told about it.
You were told, yeah, okay.
Oh, they're calling for Minter's head.
They are.
I mean, they just can't stand the guy. I don't think that's fair. And let's go back to last year. We go up to the Big House at Michigan.
Yeah.
And completely shut them down.
Yeah.
And guess what? It's the same cast of characters up there this year that it was last year. And, you know, don't give me a Mike Hart was hurt. That's because we hurt him. We knocked him out of the game.
Yeah.
And that was a physical defense that we've taken on the road. You can't – what's Charlie now? 9-0, I think, in road games. Holtz always used to say cannot win on the road
without
taking
your defense.
Right.
Yeah,
so
right.
I'm going to give that to Rick Minter. Right? You with me on that so far?
Oh, last year's Michigan game?
Well, yeah,
I'll give him that.
Okay, and the Charlie's road success? You with me on that so far?
Yeah.
Okay. Go down to Purdue, take care of, I mean, really set the tone last year. I'm still on last year, right? No, statistically, there's just virtually no way to say that this defense has been good in 2 years. But you look at what they've done, they've been good enough for us to take control of the game offensively, and the offense has helped them with time of possession. But guess what?
The offense has been a huge help
right,
in that regard.
Guess,
huge.
Football is a team game. It's a team game. So the two components work well together.
Yeah, but look, the point is this. We're never going to be a top team in the upper echelon that we want to get to without a better defense. And the games that we have lost have been because, we go out and we lay an egg on offense, or we're not completely efficient on offense. We have no chance. We're out of it.
You mean like Georgia Tech? That's Exhibit B, counselor. Okay, we go down to Georgia Tech against a very good defensive team, and the offense struggles. And the defense,
a very bad offensive team. Georgia Tech scored 7 points against North Carolina yesterday.
Right,
seven,
and they scored 35 plus against Virginia Tech. So, do you work for ESPN now?
That hurt.
Yeah, well,
that was really low.
When you're going to look at one selected example. You know,
are you sitting there telling me that Georgia Tech is a great offense? Is that what you're telling me?
I never said great. I said that we went down
on
the road.
I said they stink. That offense stinks. The fact that our defense played well against Georgia Tech on the road in the opening game
is a
very good sign for us.
Absolutely,
it's a good game for us. But that's not the proper comparison.
And the North Carolina game is. Their one game against North Carolina is the comparison to make.
All right, we're talking about our defense.
Okay,
first of all
right, let's get back to the topic at hand. The Georgia Tech game, shutting down Penn State like we did. How about last year? The greatest team ever, the greatest offense ever, two Heisman Trophy winners, comparing them to Blanchard and Davis of Army, USC's team of last year, the greatest team ever played, and our defense did more than hold its own. In fact, held USC to its lowest totals of the year. And, of course, we know how that ended.
Yes, and why did it end that way? Because the defense led a huge play.
That
for 2 years.
The defense kept us in the game against Southern Cal. They played a great game against Southern Cal.
They did play a great game. But, Mike, for 2 years, we have been susceptible to back-breaking plays.
Scheme or personnel? I'm going to vote personnel. I think the defense hasn't been dominant, hasn't been suffocating. Everybody agrees with that. But I don't think Rick Minter is the problem. And I like what he did against Air Force and Navy. Those teams are going to get their yards no matter what. And so Minter picked his poison, which is what you have to do in the option. And he picked the poison, which was the least threatening to us. Turn it in, force the pitch every play. And, yeah, they bled us to death a little bit.
Long,
sustained
drives. Very difficult for an offense to keep up that consistency of being on the field that long. You figure at some point they're going to make a mistake, and they'll shut them down.
And we held Air Force to just a tick over 200 yards rushing, which was well below their, you know, their average, which was third in the country behind Navy and West Virginia.
Well, and the more important stat was on the scoreboard.
Points.
That's
right. It's about points, and it's about winning.
And I hate to say this because it might help make your point, but the truth is you go back to the defenses at Notre Dame when Minter was here before. It was very similar kinds of issues of bend, don't break kind of defenses or defenses that might have given up a lot of yards but picked their right times to make a big stop.
Well, I would say the 93 defense was pretty good.
Oh, that was a heck of a
defense.
It was.
Yeah. One final interesting note from the defensive performance against Air Force. Compared to the Navy game when Zbikowski had all the tackles and Dukeway was up close to the line of scrimmage forcing the pitch.
22 tackles or something?
They flipped it around in the Air Force game, and Zbikowski was up on the line of scrimmage at linebacker death, forcing the pitch, and Ndukwe chased him down for 22 tackles.
Right, that's it.
So I'm wondering why they made that switch, and was that a better personnel matchup, or was that something with Zibby's shoulder still not being healed?
Oh, that's
an
interesting point.
Maybe wanting to shield him a little bit.
Right.
So I'm not sure why they did that, but that was the one noticeable change in the defensive scheme from Navy to Air Force.
Well, and the other thing that, just talking about that game and defense, offense, performance, et cetera, when the offense scores as quickly as they do, as they did in that game, the defense is turn around right again out there on the field again. The defense was on the field for a lot, in part because the offense scored quickly, and the defense put a touchdown on the board on the blocked field goal, and a turnaround had to get out in the field again.
The second quarter, Notre Dame ran three plays for 8 yards, and really, two of those three plays were drop passes. Quinn is 8 for 8, and comes out late in the second half, and two drop passes before he hits Darius Walker for an 8-yard gain. And that was it in the second quarter. Very strange game. So the numbers that Quinn and the offense put up was literally in three quarters and less than that because the number twos finished out the game. So let's talk about the offense for a little bit. Obviously,
what do you think of our performance offensively?
Well, it was spectacular when they were out there, of course. That's an easy one. Quinn did nothing to hurt his Heisman chances. You gotta love the numbers he put up. 14 and 19, 207 yards, three touchdown passes, and Samardzija went over 100 yards again. Darius Walker, big day, over 150 yards.
Raymond McKnight breaks Tom Gatewood's record for most receptions by a Notre Dame receiver.
Right, and Samardzija may turn around and break that on Remus. So that's
kind of fun to see those two.
Yeah, that's great to see. But troubling for the offense.
Yeah.
John Carlson went down with a knee injury.
I mean, I was really depressed about that. And initially, he was on the sidelines, standing on the sidelines, had a brace on, but they hadn't taken him away. So you'd think, okay, maybe this is a strain and we're being protective here. But, of course, this morning comes the word he's going to miss.
Likely,
Army and USC.
We'll miss the last two regular season games. Coach Weiss, in the press conference on Sunday, indicated that it wasn't as serious as they first thought. And I guess if you want to be an optimist, which, Ed, I know that you never
want to be an
optimist.
No, it doesn't pay.
If you want to be an optimist, maybe there's an outside shot that he'll be back for Southern Cal. But I think
you need to be prepared to not have him.
He's not going to play
against Southern Cal. And I think that's going to be – that's really a huge loss for us. And, you know, somebody comes and backs him up and might perform adequately, but –
It's a huge loss.
And in terms of Brady's mindset of thinking about who I've got there, and if he's gonna change his thinking about who he's gonna go to, what options he's got to call either as audibles or he's sitting back there, this is a significant loss for us. We're in trouble.
John Carlson's having an All-American year, and one of the things that Quinn and Weiss have said numerous times this year is what John Carlson gives this offense when. Defenses want to double our outside guys, Samardzija, McKnight. They put linebackers on our tight end, and we've got a tight end that can run down the field and beat people. I don't know Marcus Freeman is that guy. I don't know that Conrad Ruhlin, the freshman,
There was an awful lot of predictions and promises for him, for Ruhlin, but we'll see if he could step in.
It's in a huge
difficult
loss.
Situation.
And you make a great point about Brady's mindset, knowing that he's got that tight end, that All-American tight end down the middle when he needs him. And will Brady maybe think too much? Hold on to the ball. Force it, maybe.
Look at the way he'll throw it up for Samardzija to make a play. The UCLA game is a great example of that. Okay, and is he going to just turn and react and think that way about his freshman tight end or his backup tight end that's in there instead of Carlson?
Yeah, good one initial good sign. Freeman made a great touchdown reception against Air Force. Quinn drilled the ball over the middle, had confidence, got it to him. Let's hope we see more of that. And the Army game's a nice tune-up for the men of Troy coming up in 2 weeks.
One more point about the Air Force game offensively is that we saw some of James Aldridge
early in the game. Did a nice job.
He did a nice job,
and hopefully we'll see more of that. Again, against Army.
5 carries, 26 yards, something like that.
Right. So that was a good sign as well. Okay, we're going to be back on Tuesday. We'll talk about the polls in more depth. Notre Dame comes out of this weekend's crazy Saturday of upsets. 5th in the coaches' poll, 6th in the AP, likely to be 5th in the BCS, and positioned.
Just about the time everybody was ready to completely count out.
Right.
It actually sets up. We're not in a bad position given what people ahead of us have to do yet. One of them we can take care of ourselves, USC.
Right. Not in a bad position at all.
That's right.
So we'll get into that and talk about other issues in college football. Of course, the big Michigan-Ohio State game. And we'll get into that conversation on Tuesday. But until then, I'm Mike Sullivan. I'm joined with Ed Sullivan. And you've been listening to Dome and Domer. And we'll be back on Tuesday. We want to say thank you to our sponsor, the South Bend Chocolate Cafe, Ed's Home Away From Home in downtown South Bend. And if you have any questions or comments about Notre Dame football, please email us, domeanddomer@wsbt.com, and we'll be happy to talk about your questions, thoughts, or insights into Irish football.
And remember, he's Dome, but I'm Domer.